It's showtime.
Kincaid, 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go. We are off and running on this, the 13th anniversary. We've been at this for 15 years now, but this is the official 13th anniversary of the first broadcast from this studio in this format for the Horn, October the 24th, 2005. 18 minus 5. Yep, that's 13, even when I'm ciphering on the fly. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. It's anniversary night here at the Horn. And, you know, what are we going to do? And it turns out what we're going to do for this anniversary night on the Horn is just another program, only a little bit creepier and a little bit more frightening and a little bit more horrifying and... It is the 24th day of October, 2018. This is the Horn. HeadOn.live is where we live. That's where you go if you'd like to click on the chat room link and jump into the Merry Madcap Wacky Zany Real-Time Multimedia Extravaganza that is the Horn. And if you do jump in, you'll be immediately greeted by the likes of Heather and VT Blom. And moderated, capably moderated, by pinch-hit midweek utility chat room moderator and all-around great guy, Steve from Georgistan. Thanks, y'all. Go ahead.
Happy anniversary. We're all here.
Yes, we are. Thank you, baby. The wonderful, the magnificent, the incomparable Agnes, who really keeps the madness at bay and makes it possible for me to be here behind the microphone each and every evening. It is a little daunting, amazing, really, thinking about the 13 years that we've been at this and the 15 years in total. It's astonishing. And hopefully we'll be here for a lot of years more. But I never imagined that we'd be marking any anniversary of this this effort at independent liberal non-commercial broadcasting by talking about bombs being mailed all over the country. If I think back 13 years to October the 24th, 2005, I don't think I saw the Julius Geezer on the horizon either. No. Well, that's true. That's true. I didn't think of it that way. Lee in New York. Happy Bar Mitzvah. 13 years since it began. That means the bar mitzvah falls on prayer meeting Wednesday for the horn. Mazel tov. Thank you, Lee, in New York. I guess we get to say, since broadcast networks have no gender, today the horn is an adult. Oh, but I promise we'll never try. We'll never get so full of ourselves that we behave completely like grown-ups. No. And of course, we begin every program with thanks. Thanks to our subscribers. Thank you very kindly to Pam in Washington. Thank you, Pam. And thank you to James. Thank you very, very kindly. Thanks very much to Samson. Much obliged. Thanks to Josh. And thanks to Jason. Jason, who noted earlier today. Let me see if I can find that real quick. There it is. Well, you'll be happy to know Frontier Communications stock is down another 11% today. I'm not happy, I don't think, because if Frontier gets much worse, I'll wind up standing out on the stoop and shouting the program. Thank you, Ron and Raleigh says 13th anniversary. To quote that old sage Jed Clampett, "Wild doggies." One of these days, I'm going to have a long talk with that network. Yes, indeed. But thanks to all of our subscribers, and a special thanks going out to Peg in the sandbox. We came into the program. We ended the program last night. It's been tough this week. We raised $25 Monday and $4. Thank you, Arthur, last night. And that left us at $656 coming into this evening, $656 to finish the month of October's fundraising and have a broadcast week of fundraising-free radio. That's, like I said, daunting. Peg, however, took that down to $356 with a note. Howdy from the sandbox. I hope this will help with you and Dr. Bill's podcast. I was appalled by Dr. Bill's podcast on the 8th, talking about being taxed for his meager income. On a different note, we're going to be here for another 2 years. We thought this was end, yet we've been pulled back. We've been outside the USA for 30 years now. I often listen to USA citizens talking about leaving and going to live wherever with the current political climate, and I've always wondered about their decision, as no matter where you live as a USA citizen, you need to file and pay USA taxes, so what's the point? That's on an income, be it revenue or fixed income, and the USA is the only country that taxes you, no matter where you live, except the Philippines. Anyway, I hope the horn continues, says Peg, and I only get it on Podbean now. All the best to you, Agnes, and the family. Love, Peggy. Thank you, Peggy. Thank you so very, very much. That is tremendous. And that gives us a fighting chance this evening. And since it did go by the boards on Monday, I can happily announce that there's a $100 challenge on the table, courtesy of Chris in Germany. So if we can meet that challenge on this, our anniversary evening, then that'll only leave $156 to go. So thank you, Peg. Thank you, Chris in Germany. And anybody who wants to help out is free to go over to headon.live and click on the PayPal button. If you'd like to become a subscriber, you can do that. That would mean your subscription would be pulled on this day every month. Or you can click the Patreon button, and it'll come out on the first day of the month. Thank you for your greetings to the lovely Lady Agnes. Marty, thank you very kindly. Lucky 13, happy head-on-versary. Head-on-versary. Took me a minute. Happy head-on-versary, says Darlene in Connecticut. Here's to another 13 years. Cheers. Thank you, Darlene. Thank you. So, And sincerely, that's the plan, is to just keep doing this year in and year out. Hey, thank you, Jeremy, for getting us started toward meeting Chris's challenge. That means we've got $90 to go. Thank you, Jeremy in Vermont. Thank you very kindly indeed. I feel like it would probably be wise, if you are so inclined. I'm gonna get going covering the events of the day, and you know what that means. I had plans for a typical, well, it's prayer meeting Wednesday, so we were going to do the typical prayer meeting Wednesday shtick, and I was going to talk about how the little old blue-haired ladies down in the fellowship hall kitchen had a hankering, they said, for big old plates of good pasta with some, you know, because we've been very, very heavy red meat kind of, yeah. So they suggested maybe just a nice pasta with some good garlic bread, and they said they wanted to make vodka sauce, so I had to run to the liquor store. But I was lucky because I found that organic, free range, cruelty free, vegan, non-GMO vodka that goes for $25 a fifth in the little mini bottles was only 99 cents, and I quickly did some mathematics in my little old pumpkin haid and realized that meant that a fifth in the little mini bottles would only be $15. So, working from the toward from the better part of valor, I used the funds from the collection plate, and I bought 30 mini bottles of organic, free-range, cruelty-free, non-GMO, vegan vodka, and gluten-free too. And thus saved about $10 a fifth. I figured the little old blue-haired ladies in the cathedral fellowship hall kitchen. Well, I figured that they could throw them all in the throw at least 15 of them in the freezer, and then they use the other 15 for cooking up the vodka sauce that they wanted. Got them, you know, we loaded in a bunch of fresh Parmesan. The little old blue-haired men took to grating the Parmesan for all they were worth, and got some good quality tomato paste and tomato sauce, and a little bit of brought them a little bit of cream, and yes, we've got they made a whopping good vodka sauce. Of course, most of the vodka, well, the vodka boils away. The alcohol part does. Well, the part of the alcohol that is actually cooked into the sauce. The little old blue-haired ladies were pretty well, literally, you know, into the bag by the time they were done. But, oh, they did a good job. And there was lots of sourdough garlic bread and the good pasta. And they whipped up a tiramisu. And the deacons fell on that with a will. No, Randy and PA, no. It is most assuredly not Trump vodka. Neither is it Putinka. No, it's called Prairie. And it's 100% non-GMO, organic certified, cruelty-free, vegan, gluten-free vodka. Even got him a few of the mini bottles of the cucumber stuff. Gave the vodka sauce a little bit of a kick. And so it was that the little old blue-haired ladies and the little old blue-haired men had a fine time back in the fellowship hall kitchen. We knocked down a delicious meal. The deacons, I don't think the deacons had ever quite seen tiramisu before, but it didn't slow them down a lick. And I don't know but what they snuck back to the freezer and had a couple of little mini bottles themselves. Mm-hmm. But eventually they trundled their massive bulk up to up the couple of stairs and went out in the parking lot and commenced to chain smoking with the sinners out there. They didn't fully understand why it was that the U.S. Postal Service, when it stopped and dropped off a few packages, took out its portable X-ray device and X-rayed all the boxes coming into the Cathedral of Common Sense. They didn't understand that in the least. Then again, theirs is not to question why. Theirs is but to trundle and pass the plate. And so it was that eventually Sister Carol Baker appeared at the vestibule door, just quietly tapping the cathedral's solar-powered cattle prod against the door, making it kind of crackle and snap and pop a little bit, which immediately got the attention of the deacons and got them to, you know, they're a living embodiment of the law of physics that says bodies in motion tend to remain in motion and bodies at rest tend to stay at rest. But when a deacon decides to get in motion, it's a little slow getting started, but they awful hard to stop. So they trundled and bumbled and stumbled past Sister Carol, through the vestibule, past that aging bowl of desiccating butter mints, and they came to a stop. They came to a stop down here in front of the pulpit. And they're waiting now to pass the plates. They've got the heavy brass-bound, velvet-lined collection plates getting ready to move amongst the congregation. And they're going to... So, consequently, even though this seems a very abnormal day, we've got to maintain some pretext of normalcy. So I will call the minister of music up, and the minister of music can lead us in the offertory hymn. And just keep one eye, with every head bowed and every eye closed, brethren and sister, and just one of them scrunched open just enough to keep from getting whomped in the head with that big old heavy plate. Just take that plate, press the PayPal button in the bottom, and pass it along. Okay? And your neighbor will do that, and the neighbor will do that, and then maybe we'll have that 346 and counting knocked out before we know what happened. Mm-hmm. So, Sister Minister of Music, if you would, please.
And he said, it's time for you to leave behind the things of this world. The fine houses, the fancy cars, the flashy clothes, because we are all naked in the eyes of the Lord.
Stop! This man is clinically insane!
Ladies and gentlemen, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let me hear you say, Amen.
Amen.
Let me hear you say, Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Let me hear you say, I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little collection plate when it comes around.
I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little plate when it comes around.
And it's all tax-free. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord for all the cash I've got. Praise Him for my Rolls Royce and my yacht. Serving God ain't hard with a credit card. Jesus died so I could make a lot. Praise the Lord, He's made us millionaires. Wave your donations in the air. We've replaced our hymns with ATMs, and soon we'll charge a fee on every prayer. Jesus Jesus Christ was a poor man, don't you know? He should have used our accountants for his cash flow. Stop the Sermon on the Mount, he should have had a bank account. 2,000 years with interest, he'd be rolling in the dough. Praise the Lord, this song's out on CD, just $40.95 plus GST. Hallelujah, plenty of moolah, solid gold baubles on my Christmas tree. I've got all of heaven's riches, thanks to all you stupid bitches. Praise the Lord for modern Christianity. Whoever said religion should be free?
Oh, ooh, ee, ooh, ah, ting, tang, walla, walla, bing, bang. I love you. Welcome, brethren and sistren, to Prayer Meeting Wednesday on the Horn. I'm a-calling on you now to get up off of your seats and onto your feet. Wiggling, waggling, waddling, scrunching, screeching. Move without rhythm so you won't attract the worms. And come on down that blood-red aisle and fall. Fall, I'm a-telling you, fall upon your knees at the altar and lay hands upon the subwoofer and feel the healing rays of common sense flowing through you from glory the server on high. I am arch pope uber rabbi ultimate imam animated animist antagonized agnostic vicarious vicar ponerized pontiff maximum mufti Bob Kincaid, and this here is Prayer Meeting Wednesday on the Horn. Amen and amen. The plate has come. The plate, the deacons have brought back the plates. As Brother Lee points out, deacons follow the rules of science whether they believe it or not, including Newton's first law of motion. Amen, glory. They do. They do, Brother Lee. They do. And the plates have come back in, and I'm happy to tell you that Chris's challenge has been met. Thank you very kindly to Chris, another Chris, in the far and pretty sure already frozen north, for helping out in that regard. And thank you to Clarence, formerly of Philadelphia, now of South Carolina, for helping out as well. Chris's challenge has been met, and we're started on the last $146. Of October's fundraising. And in fact, there's only 96 of it left. $96 left. Thank you very, very kindly. And to keep that going, Brother Steve, pinch hit midweek utility chat room moderator Steve, all around great guy from Georgistan, has put a $13 Horniversary challenge on the table. If that gets met, let's see, that'll take us down to only $70 to go. So hallelujah, amen. We'll keep the plates a-passing. I figured, being as how the nation was shocked today, Scared? Yeah, I think scared's okay. We can use scared. Terrorized because of terrorism? Yes. It was a couple of days ago, and I just want to put this in some sort of order. It was a couple of days ago when we got the news that a bomb had been sent to George Soros, who is, of course, the boogeyman of the White Wing. being Jewish, George Soros is also used by the same, that self-same white wing as a stand-in, as a code word, as a buzzword, as a, not so much as a dog whistle, but as a foghorn for the anti-Semitism that animates the white wing. Once upon a time, the foghorn was the Rothschilds. And before that, it was the learned elders of Zion. And depending on which circles, which anti-Semites and white wingers you were listening to, simply the Jews. You know, back in the middle of the 20th century, it was Jewish bankers. Well, George Soros, being Jewish, is the dog whistle slash foghorn for anti-Semitism in the country today. Because you may hear George Soros, I may hear George Soros, and that's exactly what we hear, George Soros. But when you say George Soros to a Proud Boy, or a member of Patriot Prayer, or a member of the Klan, or generally speaking to Trump voters, what they hear is global international Jewish banking conspiracy to control the white race. And so it was that a couple of days ago, we found out that, in fact, a bomb had been sent to George Soros's home. And we thought, that ain't right. That's dangerous. Somebody, and remember, it was just not long ago back at all when Julius Geezer himself, the son of an anti-Semite and a member of the Klan, was pissing and moaning on Twitter about George Soros funding the protests against Brat Kavanaugh. It's there. Anybody can find it that wants to. And in point of fact, even after the bombing attempt, and by the way, note to the for-profit media, do not refer to what is going on as bomb threats. These are not bomb threats. Bomb threats are what happens when you're sitting in the movies and some asshole has called in and called the police department and said, there's a bomb in the movie theater. And so they have to evacuate the movie theater. Or when some kid unprepared for an Algebra 2 test in a high school calls in and says, there's a bomb in the high school, and they have to evacuate the high school. But there's actually no bomb. In this case, there were many actual, real, no kidding, bombs. So these are not bomb threats, for-profit media. These are bombings. For instance, when B-17s would fly over Germany during the Second World War and unload a massive finale rack of bombs, and they would fall on the ground and explode and do massive amounts of damage, some of them didn't. Every now and then you'll find a news story, not just Europe, Japan, certainly Southeast Asia, where an unexploded bomb has been discovered. Well, that's not a bomb threat. That's a bomb, and it's the result of a bombing. Regardless of whether it came from a plane or what, you get the... It's somewhat semantic, but this is one of those instances similar to what the White Wing has been doing for quite some time, in which words matter. You know, words like, beat the hell out of him. If anybody gets arrested, I'll take care of, I'll cover their legal bills. Words matter. Yeah. And so even after George Soros, what became the first person to receive a bomb in the mail, well, how about this? White wingers, white wing politicians are still running George Soros ads. I wish I was kidding. I'm not. It's deeply disturbing. It is frightening. And it makes one wonder if we are entering some sort of new and terrifying phase of the American experience. Darlene in Connecticut puts it, stop making the false equivalency, Mrs. Greenspan and daughter of the late John McCain, that protesting high-profile Republicans while they're having dinner is the same thing as sending bombs in the mail to high-profile Democrats. Not! David in South Carolina, Stan, apparently in some sort of mental contact with Darlene in Connecticut. Subject line, both sides. MSNBC once again invoked Scalise being shot as proving that violence comes from both sides. They say both sides need to tone down. This on Ari Melber. Apparently MSNBC bought the whole hog. Ron in Raleigh says, you realize the filthy rhetoric issuing from Dolt 45 and the rest of his swinish ilk has nothing to do with all of these bombs. The regime will do everything in its power to find the perpetrators. Yeah, mm-hmm. Oh, by the way, Scott in San Diego says, don't forget the Illuminati. Well, can't forget the Illuminati. And Darlene in Connecticut says, consider the $13 challenge met plus the remaining $70. You're all set. So we're finished with fundraising. For the month of October, that means we have met the Trash Fitzwalker Stand Challenge. Hot diggity. Thank you, Darlene. Thank you. Now, I had this damned clip ready right before airtime. We've got a brand new George, because we've got a brand new George Soros ad out. And I really wanted to share the audio with you. I'm still trying to find it, because that tells you that all of this, phony baloney statements of concern from Republicans is every bit as phony as you and I both recognize them to be. You don't put out and then continue to run George Soros ads after Mr. Soros has been bombed. No. By the way, James in Illinois says, no cure for it. Dropping the Soros gags won't stop them. That'll just cause it to morph into the secret funder Soros. I say double down, and the more bizarre, the better. I've been accused, unprovoked, of being on his payroll. Why? I can spell and write full sentences and paragraphs. You can't win with them. Yeah, and me dropping the Soros gags really has nothing to do with attempting to change the behavior of the maggots. Maggot's gonna maggot. It's more in the way of me attempting to engage in a degree of solidarity with my Jewish brothers and sisters who are victims of anti-Semitism in this country and around the globe. That's all that is. Okay. So, I mean, that was what motivated my thoughts in that regard. Ah, there it is. I finally found it. It's an ad for, it's an attack ad for Minnesota House candidate Republican Jim Hagedorn. And all the damn dog whistles and foghorns are right there. Courtesy of the National Republican Campaign Committee. So let me just see if I can get that rolling. Come on, we can do this.
I owe nothing to any leader, any corporation.
What a joke. Look at who finances Dan Feehan's employer. Radical George Soros, Wall Street's biggest banks, a crooked lobbyist tied to Pelosi. They pay Feehan's bills and fund his campaign because Feehan's a Pelosi liberal. Supports tax hikes, more debt, amnesty, even government-controlled health care.
I owe nothing.
Nonsense. Liberals own Feehan. He'll never be for you. NRCC is responsible for the content of this advertising.
Anyone wondering what NRCC stands for, that's the National Republican Congressional Campaign. Yeah, I wonder. I've done, not a lot of it, but in my years, I've done some voiceover work. Once upon a time, a very, very long time ago, I could be heard on a few occasions saying, "Welcome to Larry King Live," or "This is a TBS News Watch." Voiceover work. But I wonder what kind of scumbag you have to be. What level of desperation must fill your otherwise hollowed-out being in order to take that voiceover job, to fill the script you're handed with such absolute and utter contempt, such venom, such hatred. I mean, listen to this guy.
I owe nothing to any leader, any corporation.
What a joke. Look at who finances Dan Feehan's employer. Radical George Soros.
Radical George Soros? See, I can do it too.
Wall Street's biggest banks?
Wall Street's biggest banks? That's two anti-Semitic Jew dog whistle foghorns in a row?
A crooked lobbyist tied to Pelosi.
A crooked lobbyist tied to Pelosi. Who, by the way, was, of course, attacked in Miami by a Proud Boys mob just last week. After the man's already been bombed. The fact that the bomb does not go off does not mean he has not been bombed. Again, words effing mean things. And it hasn't been pulled. And they have no intention of pulling it. Because as far as they're concerned, it works. But this is Prayer Meeting Wednesday, so let's check in with a well-known Christian for his take on the events of this day, in which Hillary and Bill Clinton were bombed. Barack and Michelle Obama were bombed, in which the CNN studios in New York City were bombed, in which Eric Holder was bombed, in which Maxine Waters was bombed, in which Debbie Wasserman Schultz was bombed because the package didn't make it to its intended victim, and therefore was returned by an ever-diligent postal service to her office. The return address on the bombs was Debbie Wasserman Schultz.
Goddamn Debbie Wasserman Schultz, neoliberal establishment Schultz, Bernie should have, Bernie could you be... Group.
Let's see what noted Christian Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America, has to say about all of this. Shall we? Never mind the hockey puck. Get a bucket. Okay? I mean, it's him, so... the bucket warning should probably go as read, but I'm taking no chances and making no assumptions here.
Welcome back. We're, of course, here in Dallas on the final...
This is, of course, noted both-siderist Chuck Todd on Meet the Press Daily.
Top of our Meet the Midterms road trip earlier today, I caught up with Senator Ted Cruz on his campaign bus in downtown Dallas. And as I caught up with him, the news was breaking with all of these bomb threats. So I asked him about the discovery of these bombs that were addressed to high-profile Democrats. And we talked more extensively about the current political environment. Take a listen.
Well, listen, this is a very divided time. It's a polarized time. Violence is never okay.
This is a very, what, divided time, a polarized time? Gee, I wonder why, Rafaelito. I wonder why. Wonder if it has anything to do with your old pappy anointing your head with oil and praying over you and declaring that you were going to be the king of America. And declaring the rest of us to be irremediable sinners. I wonder if it has anything to do with your my way or the highway approach to governance. I wonder if it has anything to do with the fact that you personally shut down the fucking government in what was and still is a white wing insurgency in this country. I wonder. And by the way, Stephen, New York, Pelosi, translation. San Francisco Democrats, the gays are coming for your kids. You've obviously got your translator turned on, Steve. Lee in New York, subject line Jews and Republicans. Republicans show their lack of morality and memory Since my memory still functions, I recall a former Republican Speaker of the House, Eric Cantor. P.S. I know who's my go-to guy for voiceover work. Well, I think, thank you, Lee. Thank you. I can do all kinds of voiceover work. Because you see, that same ad up in Minnesota, it doesn't go over quite as well if you say, he's owned by billionaire Jew George Soros. Because all the little maggots up in Minnesota would say, what? He doesn't sound like he's from around here like that other fellow does. No. Thank you, Lee. Thank you. But it's a polarizing time and a divided time, says Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America. The man without enough spine to stand up to Donald Trump. The man who let Donald Trump trash his wife and said, thank you, sir, can she have another? The man who let Donald Trump trash his ancient head anointing daddy and said, trash him some more, Donnie. Yeah, that Rafaelito. Christian.
And it doesn't matter where on the political spectrum it comes. These bombs that were apparently sent to Soros and Obama and Clinton, that's...
Apparently sent. Now, the news was all over the place by the time that noted both siderist Chuck Todd was interviewing Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America. It was long since broken. There was no doubt about it. They were bombs. And they were sent, and they were delivered to a secure facility. They did not go off, much to the chagrin of the white wing out there. Remember, when the news just broke of the bomb being sent to George Soros, little white wingers went on the Fox News website and said, too bad. Better luck next time. Karma's a bitch, George. Apparently. Because even after the rest of the world was sure, Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America, wasn't sure.
Deeply troubling. It on its face appears to be a terrorist act. I hope the terrorist is caught and is prosecuted and sent away to jail for a long, long time.
You know, unless it turns out to be a loyal maggot, in which case the excuses will pour forth like a mighty river. From Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America. Because who knows, it might be one of his supporters.
We saw...
Let me tell you what Ben Howe tweeted. Ben Howe tweeted this. He goes, 15 years ago, a bomb threat like this, we automatically assumed it was an international enemy. Immediately everybody said, oh, yeah. It's a domestic enemy. I mean, that's what's
that's
sad.
That's an interesting point.
And it's
that's an interesting point. I mean, it didn't take long at all for the hashtag MAGA bomber to begin trending on Twitter. But we'll get to how obvious it is just in a minute.
Also had a gunman come to Washington targeting Republican members of Congress shoot and nearly kill Steve Scalise.
Absolutely. Yeah, one guy with one gun. These bombs had the potential to kill how many people? But, so, you know, Rafaelito has to engage in some both-siderism, even though the two things aren't even remotely connected. Nobody was out there engaging in a day-in, day-out, steady drumbeat litany against noted Klan sympathizer Steve Scalise. Because he is a noted Klan sympathizer who spoke to white supremacist organization. He just did. It's just a fact. But Rafaelito has to run him up the cross just to create some sense of false equivalency. Hi, Tracy, if you're there.
I mean, that's, that...
No, this is not... We're in a bad spot.
We're badly polarized and divided, and I wish everyone would just count to 10 and calm down. And I'm not saying we shouldn't disagree on substance. Look, I think the democratic process is all about debating and trying to figure out what's the best policy, and so we should debate.
And, you know, and I should be able to grind my boot on the neck of whomever I decide that I oppose and sleaze them and slime them, shut the government down, anything that I deem politically expedient toward the advancement of my own personal career. This, by the way, is how the Roman Republic came apart at the seams. Never mind. It drives you crazy when I go there. I won't.
High taxes or low taxes? What's better for Texas? That's an important debate to have.
Small government, big government.
Sure. All of those debates are important government.
Yeah, small government or big government. I'm Chuck Todd, and I'll repeat a right-wing talking point, even though the idea of small government is a great big steaming load of horse shit, because a country of 320 million fucking human beings cannot be run on a small government by one little old blue-haired lady licking stamps and envelopes and filling out fucking Social Security checks. Small government. Blow me.
It's important debates to have, but we need to do it with civility. We need to do it in a way that respects each other's decency and humanity. You know, last year I did...
Civility! Oh, this from the guy who just 2 days ago rammed his head so far up Julius Geezer's ass that when Julius Geezer said, MAGA, you could see Ted's smiling face back by his tonsils. Oh, my God, civility. From a man who won't and refuses to this day to denounce a single sleazy, tawdry, filthy thing that the President of the United States says or tweets, civility.
Three town hall debates on CNN with Bernie Sanders. They were 90 minutes each. Now, Bernie and I disagree on almost everything, but yet we were able to discuss it. Issues on substance, but in ways that respect each other. That's how the democratic process should play out.
Could the president do more?
Look, I'm not interested in doing
know.
Running.
What did I tell you? Jesus Christ, has he got a microphone stand holding him erect? I don't mean like that. Quit that, perverts. Because the man's got no spine at all.
Pelosi, I spoke out on Twitter, said that's wrong too. Don't, and I disagree with Nancy, but we can treat each other with decency and respect. That's the right way to do it.
Do you think it's a social media culture that everybody thinks they alone can somehow go viral?
I think social media contributes to it because it's you. People say things on social media they'd never say in real life. You're nastier.
I always sometimes tell people, tweet like your mother's reading.
Yeah, that's a very good point.
And imagine what tweets might be better.
And look, on Twitter.
Yeah, here's the funny thing. I remember back when Ralph Alito was debating Beto O'Rourke the first time that Beto handed him his ass in a public debate. And at the end of that debate, the moderator said, okay, we want to end this on an up note. Say something nice about your opponent. Beto, you go first. And he did. And he talked about what a fine family man Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America, is. And then when it was Rafaelito's turn, he said something along the lines of, well, you know, I'll echo that. I think Beto's a good dad, even though he's a communist who hates America and would go back in time and kill Jesus in the manger if he got a chance. No, he didn't say that, but it was that's near enough. To which Beto O'Rourke said, true to form. The man can't be decent. The Republican Party cannot be decent. Because if the Republican Party is decent, they wind up having to admit that they have no place in civil society. All the way back to the rat-fucking of Gary Hart. The Willie Hortoning of Michael Dukakis. the rat fuckery of the Canuck letter during the 1972 Democratic presidential primaries levied against Edmund Muskie of Maine. It is the entire raison d'etre of the Republican Party. It's how they roll. It's what they do. It's Bill O'Reilly night after night after night after night talking about Tiller the killer, Tiller the killer, Tiller the killer, Tiller the killer, until a Republican goes out and murders, assassinates Dr. Tiller in his church. At which point Bill O'Reilly says, well, I never said that, even though it's on tape time after time after time. It's Glenn Beck shrieking about George Soros, there he is again, and the Tides Foundation every blessed day. Until one of Glenn Beck's listeners gets his Freedom Protector out. And, well, he's a little nervous, so he drinks a bottle of liquid courage and then takes off to go and shoot up the Tides Foundation and gets pulled over, and it gets prevented because he gets charged with DUI before he can get there. But that's not always how it works out. It's Jim Guy Atkinson, who left a written manifesto and said that because he had read Bill O'Reilly's book and Michael Savage's book and Rush Limbaugh's book and most especially Bernie Goldberg's book about how liberals were ruining America, he took it upon himself as a patriotic American. And since he couldn't get to the people who were really doing the damage, like Hillary Clinton and Nancy Pelosi, he decided to go and slaughter a bunch of liberals in a Unitarian church in Knoxville, Tennessee. And he did that. By walking into a children's play and beginning to blaze away. Both sides don't do it. I defy you to find any liberal progressive broadcast in which people are saying things like Tiller the killer or declaring that the Tides Foundation is an existential threat to America and that the people that people need to be eliminated from life on planet Earth. You won't find it. You might find some praise for heroic, nonviolent resistors like the water protectors in Standing Rock and down in Louisiana. You might find words of encouragement for women willing to go out and march and stand up for the rights of women all and men, allies, against rampant misogyny in this country. Yeah, Darlene heard that too. Count to 10 and calm down. What is this, kindergarten or something? Cruz's white wing tried to blow up high-profile Democrats yesterday and today. Is he kidding? No, he's not kidding. And the poll quote from all this is when he says that Democrats are actively encouraging people to bomb them.
When I'm reading Twitter, I don't let my daughters look at what I'm saying because, you know, every third word is an F-bomb. I mean, they're nasty, horrible things.
My 14-year-old does read Instagram now. Let's just say it's been painful.
I also think the rhetoric that is used. I remember when the Senate passed the tax cut, up in the gallery there were some protesters, and one guy screamed, "Stop killing me."
And he squints at you. What? I'm not killing you. I'm just giving billions of dollars of the treasury to the people who fucking deserve it. You know, your betters. Sit down, Prol.
It's like the protests in the gallery during the confirmation of Brat Kavanaugh. When some stentorian Republican would say, I will remind our guests in the gallery, blah, blah, blah. And every fiber of my being wanted to scream, no, you miserable patrician prick. That's not your guest in the gallery. That's your fucking employer. Don't talk about your boss that way.
And I looked up just, I mean, completely puzzled. I was tempted to actually go up and talk to the guy and say, look, we just cut your taxes. I mean, you may not like tax cuts, but it really isn't killing you. Cutting taxes is not killing you. And the problem is when you embrace rhetoric that by cutting taxes you're killing me, then suddenly that extreme rhetoric justifies, well, I've got to defend my life by physically attacking you. And I think that's...
Oh, you false equivalence piece of... The guy in the gallery didn't send the bombs to Ted fucking Cruz. Get off the cross, you booger-eating freak!
Oh, that's some... My goodness, that's some intense rhetoric, isn't it? God almighty.
That's not healthy for a republic.
Yeah. Tell it to the Marines, Ted. So we got that. The Christian response. The media always focuses on the president. There are too many Democratic politicians that are actively encouraging this. This what, Ted? These bombings? Maxine Waters is saying, please bomb me? Bill and Hillary said, please mail us a bomb? Barack and Michelle? Really? So don't look for any meaningful reform or anything like that coming from this cancerous, hardcore knot of Republicans who are hell-bent on transforming this country into their own vision of a fascist wonderland. I very nearly used the name of a song, from a Mel Brooks production, yes. No, it's not you, Steve. Steve in New York asks, is it me or does Ted Cruz reach a whole other level of disgusting and putrescence? Every time you think he's gotten as disgusting and putrescent as he could possibly be, he shows you just how wrong you are. When you say Democrats bring it on themselves like Ted Cruz did, that's no different than the abusive husband who says, why do you make me mad? Why do you make me do these things? To the woman that he's just beaten the hell out of. I don't want to hit you. You make me hit you. I didn't want you to fall down the stairs. You made me push you down the stairs. And then, of course, well, I wondered earlier today, I asked on Twitter, who would fill the vacuum by Alex, who would fill Alex Jones's vacuum to scream false flag? Well, he's not as gone as I thought he was, apparently.
So I said at the start of the show, an hour and 10 minutes ago, look for all the Democrats to get bombs. But funny, none of them are blowing up, nobody's getting hurt. They'll blow up a mail handler or something at the end of this in a few days just to give it a little blood and make it look real. But notice, you know, they're mailing all these. It's incredibly obvious. It's a false flag. A trillion percent. There's no debating it in my view. And I have that right to say it. And they have this idea that Alex Jones shouldn't question things. So Now we have New York Times op-ed. George Soros' son blames Trump and demonization of opponents for bomb packages. I said an hour ago, wait for it. They'll build, they'll build, they'll build. And now they have Democrat New York City communist mayor saying the explosives are an act of terror.
And communist. Bill de Blasio is a communist. Huh. Son of a gun. I'm all the way into the second season of The Americans now, and I haven't seen a reference to Bill de Blasio yet. Communist.
Now George Soros' son, Alexander Soros.
Notice how he punches Soros. Now George Jew's son, Alexander Jew.
The guy that helps overthrow Ukraine, the Arab Spring, all this crap, who has the left, who funds Antifa. This guy funds Antifa.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't. Not even a little bit.
He's over the foundation, whose name is on the papers, January of this year. Documents show Maryland, Obama planning to launch civil unrest to trigger martial law in Maryland. And whose name is on the papers? Guys, pull that up, please. Alexander Soros. Who do you think's funding me to be sued? Who do you think got us deplatformed ahead of all this? Look at the psychotic look in his eye in every photo.
I've seen the photos. There's no psychotic look in his eye. Now, on the other hand, you play an Alex Jones clip like this, psychotic comes leeching through the screen. But bear in mind, it's not just him. It's been a long time since Flush Flimball, the oxymoron, got any real attention. You know, he doesn't have much left in the way of advertisers and much left in the way of an audience, but, well, there he is.
Mrs. Clinton, it's your party, forgive me, that is encouraging this kind of thing. It is the Democrat Party that's home to all of these mobs.
You know, Patriot Prayer, Proud Boys, people curb-stomping people. Yeah, the Democrats.
It's the Democrat Party, Mrs. Clinton herself, who said that being uncivil at this point in time is entirely proper and understandable. It's the time to go back to civility will be after the Democrats win. You've got bought and paid for operatives by Mrs. Clinton money showing up at Trump rallies.
Except they don't have any proof of that. It's just something that the spirochetes sing each to each inside the, as they swim about inside the thin gray settlings that slosh about between the ears of the likes of Alex Jones and Rush Limbaugh and pass for brames.
Trying to make them look like deranged Trump supporters. The Democrats are even paying people to draw swastikas on American flags and waving them around, made to look like deranged lunatic Trump supporters. And so in the midst of this atmosphere, we have this series of bombs that were supposedly sent today.
You know, the way Ted Cruz said, apparently sent, supposedly sent. They get their talking points together early. They can't even admit that these individuals were bombed. Darlene in Connecticut says, limp balls doesn't sound well at all. I mean, he never sounds well, but I mean, he doesn't sound well, as in health-wise, loser. All right, I'll have another handful of those pills.
Exclusively to Democrats. And it just, there's a smell test that this stuff has to pass. And so far, a lot of people's noses are in the air, not quite certain what to make of this.
See, that's the thing about this freak. The man is something approaching personally responsible for the slaughter of people inside a church in Knoxville, Tennessee, because the guy who did the slaughtering mentioned him by name. And somehow he says Republicans don't do this kind of thing. Republicans are almost exclusively who do this kind of thing. I remember when a Republican flew a small private aircraft into the IRS building in Austin, Texas. That's how long this program's been on the air. Yeah.
This is just it's not Republicans that show up, for example, at the offices of the family, some pro-life groups' offices. Some guy shows up and with a gun and was going to shoot people, got caught before he was able to shoot. Family Research Center, I think, yeah. Republicans just don't do this kind of thing, even
though they do. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, there's Meghan McCain, who, as David in South Carolina, Stan, alluded to earlier this evening, suggested that getting yelled at in a restaurant is the same thing as getting bombed.
We all could probably use a little unity right now to condemn the rash of explosive devices being discovered everywhere. They've been sent to the Obamas and the Clintons and CNN's headquarters just down the block, and that was just evacuated. So we'll keep you updated when we know more. But, I mean, have we lost our words? And well, this is how we're responding.
You know, it reminds me of the 60s a little bit now. Mm-hmm. I'm starting to get the feeling of the 60s and 70s where they were planting bombs, where they were assassinating. It was terrible in those days. Now, Pete, you guys are too young. Nobody remembers it.
We were there.
Except the elderly. Mm-hmm. And it was pretty bad. It was a horrible time.
This is, it seems terrible now.
Yeah.
I don't know. And, you know, I was been texting with my former colleagues at CNN, and they're scared. And one former colleague said, this is what happened when the president calls you the enemy of the people.
That's right.
And I thought, my gosh, you know, the tone is coming from the top, and now CNN has become a target. Journalists that are simply trying to do their jobs.
And we still don't know anything yet about where this is coming from and what the motive is. And
that's Abby Huntsman, John Huntsman, Ambassador John Huntsman, toady and lickspittle to Donald Trump's daughter speaking. We still don't know who did it.
And who the person or the people are behind it. So it's important just be careful because we don't know yet. But in general...
Why did CNN get the bomb?
You know, so to be Sherlock Holmes.
Fox News hasn't gotten a bomb yet.
But we don't know if they...
I don't want them to get a bomb.
Here's one of the interesting things that's kind of been left out of the conversation so far. The bomb that was sent to CNN was addressed to John Brennan. John Brennan is actually a contributor to MSNBC. But CNN, of course, fake news, enemy of the people. Right? Yeah.
Let's start with this. Nobody should be getting bombed.
No.
Nobody. Nobody. Nobody.
Hey, you know what? Applause to Whoopi Goldberg. She didn't say nobody should be getting bomb threats. She said nobody should be getting bombed. With which I wholeheartedly agree. But Whoopi Goldberg understands on a fundamental level what happened.
Nobody. Because in America... when I woke up this morning, I still had the right to my opinion. And when you woke up this morning, you had the right. And this is what makes us different from everybody else, because we don't send stuff like this to people who disagree.
But that is America now, ma'am. Republicans do this. And they've been doing it for a while. But we don't like to talk about it because it makes us feel all... Okay.
You can disagree. We can have arguments and then go have some tequila or smoke a little joint. Yeah, we can do that.
Damn straight,
Whoopi. What we can't do is frighten each other from having opinions. That is not American. Yeah. That is not the American way. And this is not stuff we should be engaging in.
I agree wholeheartedly. except for the fact that it is America, it is where we are, and it is what one side of this political debate is engaging in. How many Trump Clavering rallies have to scream "lock her up" at the top of their lungs before we understand? How many times do they have to tell us who they are before we recognize them and recognize that they're not kidding and that they are who they are? I'm not saying return kind with kind. I'm nonviolent. I believe in Dr. King's philosophy and Gandhi's philosophy. But in either instance, both Dr. King and Gandhi recognized the fundamental nature of whom they were opposing. Do you think Dr. King was surprised by the state troopers with the goddamn dogs and batons on the Edmund Pettus Bridge? Hell no! He expected it! Did Gandhi expect the British to just say, that's all right. Very well, then. Go right ahead and make your assault down by the seaside there, Mr. Gandhi. No, he knew they were going to be beaten within inches of their lives. He knew who the opposition was. He knew what their nature was. He knew how they responded to pressure. And both he and Dr. King crafted nonviolent responses to it. But you have to finally, once and for all, recognize who it is you're dealing with. Trump is a problem. The maggots are the greater problem. How many times on this program have we talked about the fact that they're manifesting a desire, an outright yearning to engage in violence? Look at how the white wing responds every time a bunch of children get massacred in a school or a movie theater or a parking lot. Look at how the Republicans respond every time a person of color stands up and says Black Lives Matter after another cop has killed another young black man. Why do we not understand them for who they are? Why do we so resist admitting to ourselves that while we may be nonviolent, they ain't? Because as long as you know, the for-profit media is both siderism, combined with certain elements on our side's insistence that somehow or another this is all an aberration and we'll wake up in the morning and the hangover will be gone and everything will be hunky-dory. As long as that persists, this whole thing is going to persist. You know, hung like Jesus said to me a little bit ago via a message. He said, Bob, you know how you've been talking about a cold civil war for years? I think we're graduating. And I think he's right. Just a little bit more of this clip and then we go to the phones.
For anybody. It's not good for anybody.
I mean, just one more thing. Before the news broke about the bomb packages, about the bombings, I got to thinking this morning as I was watching coverage of the great big gigantic universe collapsing hissy fit of the white wing over a bunch of terrified people from Honduras and Guatemala and El Salvador trying to save their lives by fleeing from the violence that our foreign policy has largely created. And the Republicans using words like invasion or that goofy septuagenarian in Minnesota who told the New York Times that she fully expected to come back to her summer home in the far north of Minnesota and find that her house by the lake had been taken over by ISIS MS-13 or what the fuck ever. And because I'm old enough to have this memory, I stopped and I went, wait a goddamn minute. Everything they fucking do is just a repeat. It's all derivative. It's like, I don't know, it's like listening to modern attempts at rock and roll. All you can hear, what's that? Greta. It's like listening to Greta Van Fleet. You turn it on and fuck, it's just Led Zeppelin wannabe. And there it was. Suddenly, I was transported in time, and I heard the voice of Saint Ronnie of Raygun.
Well, the commies are going to invade us from Nicaragua. Well, we had to invade Grenada because the commies had established a foothold there, Nancy.
Shut! It's just a repeat. And then I immediately flashed on that one image from that documentary, Get Me Roger Stone, where it shows Ronald Reagan standing in front of a banner in front of New York Harbor that says, "Make America Great Again!"
If we understand things like this as some sort of a one-off, we lose. We miss the boat. Ron and Raleigh says, have they resurrected Lee Atwater? They could not do this stuff any better if he was standing at their shoulder. They'll ignore anything their crazy-ass followers do. Bingo. Meanwhile, Silent R. Lamar says, Mr. Soros, maybe you should join the fight on the ground level. Silent R. Lamar says, maybe you'll get that check from George Soros since they try to bomb him. They say he's paying money out when he's not. Maybe he should start. He does do a lot of good in the world. He really, really does. Lee in New York, rush to health conclusion? Is it possible that Limbaugh is trying to talk with OxyContin in his mouth? Oh, I don't think he ever got over the... No. He went out and talked to the horses for 6 weeks and came back and got on the horse again. Steve in New York says, it occurs to me, I recall that the right wing used to have levels of crazy. There was Alex Jones crazy, Rush Hemorrhoid crazy, Newton Leroy establishment crazy. Now it all sounds the same. There's now no difference between the Republican establishment and the fringes. They're now all indistinguishable. It's just one. They're all just it's Trump's Republican Party, and they just live in it. As to the bomb addressed to John Brennan at CNN, Scott in San Diego says maybe CNN was easier for the loony to spell than MSNBC. Yeah. No, Bob, you appear to not be truly nonviolent, says Randy in PA. You'd previously said that Nazis were for stomping. Well, I draw the line at Nazis. I draw the line at Nazis because if you don't stomp Nazis, Nazis will stomp you. And a couple of times a year, I go and visit the graves of people who died proving that. Steve in New York says, this is really hitting me. My mom, a maggot, has told me on more than one occasion that I should leave the country because of my stance on Trump. I would never tell a person they should leave the country, ever. This illustrates on a personal level the difference between them and us. Well, see, even that, Steve, is a retread because they've been playing that love it or leave it card since Vietnam or before. Lee in New York says, we like to think of ourselves as smart, capable, and kind. Why do we deny the worst of our nature? It reminded me of the end of Mirror, Mirror, obligatory Star Trek reference. Kirk, what I don't understand is how were you able to identify our counterparts so quickly? Spock.
It was far easier for you as civilized men to behave like barbarians than it was for them as barbarians to behave like civilized men.
Good old Spock. James in Illinois, who pays for the Antifa headquarters, Bob? Yeah, well, there isn't one, but, you know, that's me. Let's run over... Wait, before we go to the phones, I want to get to the Meghan McCain part of this clip.
I come in every day. I've had a total life-changing experience, obviously, in the past 14 months. Let's all hold ourselves to the standards that we want our country to be. Like, I try and do it every day. I don't always succeed, but I know we collectively as women are doing it on this show, and I just would like everyone to follow the lead that we are all trying to accept here at The View.
Election Day is coming up, just FYI.
But what also so sad is nowhere feels safe anymore, even in your own home. You don't feel safe. You don't feel safe sending your kids to school. You don't feel safe going to the grocery store, going to the movies, going to work.
And I mean, that's what's sad. Thank you for
laughing, ma'am. That's true, though. I don't like that.
You know, I wake up and speaking about, you know, life-changing experiences now being a mom, it's like I have anxiety. I was telling you this, Whoopi. I have anxiety all the time in the world we live in now. There's a reason for it. I mean, bad things have happened.
But bad things have happened from the beginning of time. And what you, I'm just going to, I'm going to be maternal right now. I don't do it often.
I love when Whoopi gets maternal.
But what you can't do is work yourself up into such a thing where you frighten the baby. So you have to, you have to pace yourself. And, you know, sometimes you don't need to watch everything on the news. You don't.
Well, I guess. I'm still trying to find.
Doesn't mean that you have to abandon. Listen, I've said this from the beginning, but I also, and I've said to you, we can't start here. It can't be every day that we're eating ourselves. We have to fight it in a different way. We just have to do it, and we have to make that decision. And some of that means you got to turn, and you did it for a little while. You turned off the news because it made you berserk.
When did you do that?
Well, I do that sometimes.
Yeah, several months ago.
And then I also, when I was away that whole week, I was...
Finding you're not the president of one party or the other. You are the president of the United States.
Again, from the daughter of a Trump lickspittle.
And come out and denounce what's going on.
He'll blame it on one of his enemies. I keep saying I gave up on this.
Here it is. Get the hockey puck. Dear God.
Being a unifier and finding you're not the president of one party or the other. You are the president of the United States.
Will he come out and denounce what's going on?
He'll blame it on one of his enemies.
I keep saying I gave up on this a long time ago. I gave up trying to let him lead and unify us. Fine. The ladies of the View will do it. We look like we're on a ticket together as it is anyway. Right here in our outfit today.
But I'm just saying, he should.
There's so many things he should be doing and he should have done. Yeah. He shouldn't be attacking Gold Star fans.
I'm hearing the White House has denounced it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Good.
About
time.
It's not just him, though. Every time he says things like the press is the enemy of the people, his entire party needs to stand up against him and say, Mitch McConnell, where is he?
I guess this would be the part if I was doing bumpers where I would bump out with Steven Tyler screaming, dream on, dream on, dream until your dreams come true. Right? Yeah. But, yeah, there was Meghan McCain. Somehow or another, I missed the poll clip. Her pull quote, in which, you know, she says that Mitch McConnell getting heckled in the restaurant is the same thing as a bunch of Democrats being mailed bombs. Right. Now, over to the stress line, where someone's been waiting patiently on the toll-free line. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bobby, it's me, Reggie. Long time no hear from.
Hey, long time, man.
Well, I was waiting until your toll-free number was reinstated before I called. Decided to call you back again. Yeah, I'm glad you brought up the Meghan McCain thing because, and her and Abby Huntsman. I wonder, do they get challenged a whole lot on The View, or Joy and Whoopi too deathly afraid to challenge them because they're Republicans, because they both used to work on and for Fox News, and of course you got people like Cedric Danilo saying that that right-wingers should bring guns to future protest rallies to defend and protect themselves from left-wingers.
Yep.
That's what she said. That's what Dana Lowe said about weapons, about firearms. But, but as I said to you before, I'll say it again. All of this rhetoric started from radical right-wing conservative Republican AMF from Hate Talk Radio, which I wish we could get rid of, but I guess that's wishful thinking. You know what I mean? Because some on our side, like such as Stephanie Miller, they seem to refuse to admit that that's where all this rhetoric started out and came from. Do you agree or disagree with me, Bob?
No, I'm hard-pressed to disagree. This has been a deliberate effort that's been a long time coming. Okay, getting rid of the Fairness Doctrine, followed by the Telecommunications Act of 1996, created the atmosphere in which Rush Limbaugh, particularly, first was able to. That was the fertile soil. And right. then you get the steady process whereby right wing corporations largely take ownership of practically every radio license in the country. And now you can drive from the coast of Maine to San Diego and never miss a moment of right wing hate.
Right.
And you can do it all on the AM band and more than a little bit on the FM.
Right, but why won't someone on our side choose not to admit that, like I said before, like Stephanie Miller said? I guess she says she doesn't believe in boycotts of the mainstream media, because if they boycott them, they'll come after her.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And we've seen that happen.
Yeah, because 2% or over 2% of talk radios is Democratic, liberal, progressive, whereas over 95% is conservative. Hell, you might as well say they own the media, because they do. They got the radio, the TV, and everything else in between.
Well, that's why with a lot of talk radio, be it left or right, you hear the same stupid ads. Buy gold now. Because they're all ads that are geared that are run by companies that don't give a damn, and on the other hand, companies that want to sell soap. Well, they don't want to be associated with controversy on either side.
Right. Or sell Super Beats. I'm sure you heard of that one.
Oh, well, yes. We spent a little time talking about Super Beats around here. Yes.
Yeah. But, I guess they don't talk about it as they don't promote it as much as they used to. You know? They don't promote it as much as they used to.
Well, because a new patent medicine will come along. Maybe it'll be a special garlic extract that helps you lose weight or something like that.
Not garlic again. Wasn't that Larry King stick?
No, not garlic. No, the latest is an extractive of the garlic plant that helps your beautiful spouse lose lots and lots of weight.
Isn't that a fraudulent scam or a fraudulent scam, Bob?
No. It's perfectly legal. You can sell anything. You can sell anything out there that a rube will buy, as long as it doesn't hurt them too obviously.
Yeah, but how can we? I know we can't control them, and they can condemn the violence all they want to. But we can neither predict nor control humanity. That's the one thing we can't do, because it's virtually impossible. You know what I mean? We never know what's going to happen in the future.
Well, sure, agreed. But what we have here is, and this is a conversation actually, I got an article from a new friend, a new member of the community down in New Zealand, or up over in New Zealand, in space, it really doesn't matter. When the multi-limbed amorphous aliens from Norblap 9 come here, they may think the South Pole's the North Pole, but never mind. I was talking last night about our fetishized version of free speech, and Sean in New Zealand sent me this fascinating article from an indigenous writer down there, who talks about the fact that there is not one white colonialist meaning of free speech, and that you can have a society where it's not legal, for instance, to robocall people with racist messages in a political race, and yet that polity can still enjoy free speech.
Right, and I heard that one. That there's only one network that never gotten a bomb, or a bomb threat, or a bomb sent to them. That was Fox News, of course. You know what I mean?
Well, right. Yeah, you don't. You know, you don't shit in your own nest.
Right. Right. They never gotten a bomb or a bomb threat sent to them. And neither does, I'm sure, neither did conservative talk radio. Or should I say conservative hate talk radio?
Well, you know, I've just changed the name. I call it conservative. You know what? I want to keep all, yeah. I want to keep the oil and the frack gas and the coal in the ground. I want to conserve that. So does that mean I'm a conservative? No, that word doesn't even work for me anymore, man. It is straight in the waning years of the second decade of the 21st century. They are the right. White wing, okay?
Right.
White rhymes with right. It is the white
right.
wing because
right.
the vast majority of this is being driven by white supremacy, white nationalism, and you know the worst elements of our culture. And we
right.
and what scares me. Is that we have no, we apparently have no desire whatsoever to stop them. There's nobody
yeah.
out there. There's nobody out there saying that the Proud Boys have no place in public. There's nobody
right.
out there saying patriot prayer is a blight upon our country and should be suppressed. Well, I don't have a
right.
problem suppressing Nazis.
Right. Neither do we. Neither do I. But the mainstream news media don't seem to be wanting to do that. And that goes for progressive talk radio, most of it. They don't seem to want to do that, to suppress these guys or to stop them. Because somebody's going to get killed. You know, murder has no statute of limitations, you know. These people should be in prison for even thinking about, let alone actually physically, violently threatening people with bombs or anything else. You know, bombs, guns, or anything else of that sort of nature, right, Bob?
Yeah, well, Because our broadcast structure is largely driven by the profit motive,
right?
This is one of the few that isn't. Because of that, everything is a potential moneymaker. We'll be back with more on today's bombings right after this from our most important sponsor. Stick around.
Right.
Yeah, and yeah. The martial music and the flashy chyrons and the special effects are all geared toward engaging the viewer,
right.
So that 2 or 3 minutes later, you can sell them something. That is the
right.
fundamental essence of for-profit broadcasting. It's not delivering program material to individuals. It is delivering individuals to businesses.
Right. And, you know, and they think this is all fun and games until somebody gets hurt or actually killed.
Oh, no! If somebody gets hurt or killed, ratings will go up. Man, the oldest truism in broadcast media is if it bleeds, it leads.
Right. But what if it happens to them? You know what I mean? What if it happens to them?
Well, it does happen from time to time, and then they turn it up to 11, and they sell more stuff.
Right. Yeah, it's all about money. It's all about the money.
Well, in a capitalist society, it has to be.
Right. It's all about the money. But people, like I said, people who listen to this stuff, you know how many psychos listen to talk radio and watch Fox and watch. Television, the news media, especially Fox, that we don't know about plenty, right? You know, how many sick, psycho people out there that listen to these people, day after, you know, 5 days a week, 3 or 4 hours a day, 5 days a week, 365 days a year. If you're ready to watch them on television or listen to them on radio, you know how many psychos out there that will actually believe this stuff, will actually initiate it or enact or reenact it, you know? When they're not in their right mind, in their right state of mind, plenty, right, Bob?
Sure. Well, By the way, I've got a correction to offer. Brother Deacon Asa pointed it out to me. No, it's not an extract of the garlic bulb that's being hustled now. It's an olive extract. It's an extract of the olive. And it will make your lovely spouse lose so much weight that she will almost disappear. Yes.
Right. But like I said, do you know how many psychos listen to hate, right? Consider the right-wing hate talk radio and watch Fox News Channel. They will go out and actually do this when they themselves are not in the right state of mind. Plenty, right?
Look, that's my whole argument about reasonable foreseeability with this stuff. Every time somebody who listens to Alex Jones or Rush Limbaugh or Glenn Beck or any of these people goes out and tries to kill or kill someone, they immediately holler, "Oh, well, my friends, I'm an entertainer. I had no way of possibly knowing something like this would happen." When in point of fact, they spend every goddamn day making sure that something like this happens. But we maintain this polite cultural fiction, this impolite cultural fiction, that somehow or another there's a disconnect out there because, oh my goodness gracious, how could Glenn Beck possibly ever imagine that there might be somebody out there that's two or three sandwiches shy of a picnic who gets liquored up and decides to go and shoot up the Tides Foundation because Glenn Beck has been hammering on the Tides Foundation for the past 6 weeks.
Right. And, of course, you know, right, or Bill O'Reilly's killer, the baby killer, right?
Bingo.
You brought that up earlier, Bob.
It's all there. It's all there.
And isn't this the exact same view that had Jeanine Pirro recently, like months ago? You know, when she got into it with Whoopi Goldberg because she called him sea suckers, and that she's accused Whoopi or all of them in general and Whoopi in particular of having Trump derangement syndrome. Isn't she the one that has Trump derangement syndrome? Is she in love with him?
Hey.
Is she psychotically obsessed with him? Or is it just me? Am I the crazy one?
Well, no. Again, it sells stuff.
Right.
If you appeal to people's prejudices, you can sell stuff to the people after you've worked their prejudices up.
Right. But like you said, you would never book any of these people on your show if you had a live TV show or a show at all. You know what I mean? You would never book these people. Why did they book them in the first place? Or book people like a such as that in the first place? You know, are they ratings that bad, or is that ratings that low? I mean, were they ratings that low?
No, the money's that good.
Oh, right. But like you said, they had Meghan McCain and Abby Huntsman on. You know, they used to be over there from on Fox News, right?
I know Abby Huntsman was.
Yeah. But they got Meghan McCain on there too. And she's also a Republican. But like you said, you know, stuff sells, right? Like sex sells. Oh, and don't forget who got rid of the FCC Communications Act. I hate to bring it up, but
No. The Telecommunications Act of 1996.
Yeah, don't forget Bill Clinton got rid of that. Why? I don't know. Why would he do such a thing like that? Why would he try to make it equally fair? It didn't work because now they, like I said,
that was another manifestation of the era of big government is over.
Well, was it? I mean, is it? No, it isn't. And like you said, small government would never work because this country has over 300 billion or million people in it. Right.
Yeah, this is not the same country where Thomas Jefferson was wandering around the drafty old White House in his bathrobe and slippers and pontificating in his thin, high, reedy voice about how awful John Adams had done in the pre. No, no.
Right. This country has long since evolved, meaning grown, to where it is today. It's not like the 1800s or the 1700s.
Precisely.
It wasn't like that at all. It's not like that at all anymore. So we need big government, but we have to control it. How do we do that, Bob? How can we control the government again? How do we take...
By taking control. Again, we got an election coming up, and I've said it for a year now, if we really want the blue wave, we're going to, this can't, today and what may follow, God only knows what tomorrow will bring, but,
right.
But today can't terrify people away from voting. It had better, by God, motivate liberals, progressives, the so-called left, decent human mm-hmm. beings who don't approve of trying to intimidate voters. It had better right. motivate them to the polls.
Right. But like I said, they were too busy talking about these bombs, you know. Even Hillary Clinton spoke up about it. Because I saw a clip on the internet earlier today before I called you, man. She spoke on it. I don't know who else spoke up on it. But all I saw was her that spoke up on it. I'm surprised Bill Clinton and Barack Obama didn't speak up on it.
Well, you know what else hasn't happened? It's been confirmed that the White House did not reach out at all, no how, no way, to either George Soros or particularly, when we're talking about ex-presidents, Barack and Michelle or Bill and Hillary. Not a call, not a telegram, not a balloon bouquet, nothing.
Right. And so they told that bullface lie about them getting threats too. You know.
Yeah, they tried to trot that out, and then somebody with some morals and conscience made them walk it back. I caught that in a story earlier today, and I actually did a screen cap of it so I could, let's see.
Right.
CNN citing a law enforcement official was initially told a suspicious package containing a pipe bomb that was addressed to the White House was intercepted at Joint Base Bowling in Washington, D.C., The Secret Service, however, later said it had only intercepted the two packages intended for Obama and Clinton and called reports of a package headed for the White House incorrect.
True. Yeah, but don't forget Maxine Waters got a bomb too.
Oh, yeah.
Or something like that.
And as I went to air, I saw a story that the people in the L.A. Times building were investigating a receipt of some package of uncertain provenance.
Right.
But as you may be able to hear from the beeping, I got folks who want to engage in the conversation. I'm awful glad you called in, though.
Thank you, Bob, and I'll call in again in the future or in near future, man.
All right, I hope you will.
We got to be, but don't forget, Bob, we have to be, as they say, civilized. You know what I'm talking about. We have to be civil. We can't act or behave like the others.
Right. And civil means as long as it means we can't tell the truth at all about what these maggots and fascists want to do to our country. And if we just stay quiet, they won't hit us.
Yeah, but why is it okay for them to attack us but we can't fight back? Why is that? Why we have to be civilized, why they can be barbaric and savage as they want to be. Right?
Well, because they don't like a fair fight. And they don't want anybody calling them out on their bullshit. Because they're very close to achieving their fondest dreams, turning this country into a fascist dictatorship under an orange psychopath.
Right. So they cheat, right? In order to win. They cheat.
Right, exactly.
But we have to stay civil. Well, that's not fair, man. That's hypocrisy.
Well, there.
And if both sides do it, bullshit. I'm getting sick and tired of hearing that. Why doesn't the mainstream media challenge them on that? Or do they? And I just missed it.
No, I don't think you missed it.
Why don't they challenge them on that then?
Well, because access is the coin of the realm when it comes to the for-profit media. If you challenge somebody, you know, I mean, let's say you're Chuck Todd, and you challenge Ted Cruz when he offers you up some line of unmitigated horse shit, well, then you might not get to talk to Ted Cruz anymore. And then you're not going to be famous anymore, and people won't want to come on your program. And we've watched this for years. It goes all the way back to Tim Russert. Lobbing softballs at members of the Bush administration during the Reign of Error.
Right. And they give conservatives far way more airtime than they do liberals.
It's been calculated. It's an absolute truth. But I gotta hit it here. I really appreciate the call, and we will talk soon, okay?
All right, man.
Later. about 11 minutes before the hour, and there are a couple of things. Look, I'm just going to play a couple of clips here because I think it's important to do this. This is a clip from just yesterday. And, of course, it has to do with the Scaravan. This is Rick Wiles, one of those religious maniacs. He does not tell the truth because there's no money in that. Here we go.
Are there ISIS terrorists embedded in this mob of people coming up through Mexico right now?
Why wouldn't there be?
I mean, it'd be a perfect opportunity for ISIS, wouldn't
it? That's what happened in Europe.
Yes, exactly right, Rick. It worked in Europe. Why wouldn't it work here?
And George Soros was involved in both of them.
Mm.
He masterminded both operations. And I don't know why George Soros has not been named as a enemy of the state. His wealth should be seized. He should be arrested and imprisoned. He is working to collapse nations.
I'm going to play that again. Because I don't know how many other programs you're going to hear this on. It's important. George Soros is an American citizen.
And I don't know why George Soros has not been named as a enemy of the state. His wealth should be seized. He should be arrested and imprisoned.
Enemy of the state. I'm pretty sure enemy of the state is not in the U.S. code. And I'm also pretty sure that, except in very limited circumstances, you can't declare someone an enemy of the state, and then you can't just seize their assets and their wealth and throw them in prison. I mean, you can under, well, you know, if you're poor, maybe black, a cop can take all the money out of your pocket, and or if you're white and traveling through West Virginia, a state trooper can take all of your money, $13,000, and try to steal it from you. But no, what Rick Wiles is talking about, that's not America. That's Nazi fucking Germany. Declare him an enemy of the state, seize his wealth, and put him in prison. And that's not hyperbole to say that's Nazi Germany. That is exactly what Nazi Germany did to the Jews. And here's Rick Wiles suggesting he'd like to do that to a Jew. Some anniversary program, huh? But there's more. How about former liquor supply officer Marion Robertson, another Christian? What do you reckon he has to say about George Soros? Hmm? Anybody want to guess? Probably no real guessing involved, is there? Working.
This caravan that's coming north has got about 7,000 people now. It's coming out of Honduras and Guatemala and now through Mexico. And it's going to be a public relations nightmare for our president if he doesn't get ahead of the thing. And what I'm saying is, so they're going to arrive. What do we want to greet them with? We want to have a bunch of soldiers beating them up on little children and women and peasants? Is that the kind of image we want to have in the world? It's going to be a nightmare unless we get ahead of it. My solution is very simple. The Army knows how to take care of troops. 7,000 people is no big deal. It's a third of a division. And all they've got to do is have field kitchens out there to feed them and put up a bunch of tents. And then, once they're in that situation where it seems humanitarian, then you begin to arrest them for breaking our laws, and you take them selectively back to Honduras, back to El Salvador, back to Guatemala, wherever they came from. And it'll take a little bit of time and some judges. But the other thing that I think we ought to do, and I think it's very important, the person who apparently has been financing this thing is George Soros. Now, we don't have hard evidence on that, but that's the suspicion, that the Soros Foundation has somehow been providing money because somebody's been paying those people off. They're left-wing agitators working in that group, and Chuck Holton tomorrow is going to be down there with them to try to find out precisely who the agitators are. But my suggestion would be that the Justice Department needs to get a warrant to search the books of the Soros Foundation to see if they indeed have been setting this thing up and do it. The whole idea was to use these people to embarrass the president. And just before the election, you've got this awful PR nightmare.
Except it's not. The Scaravan is actually motivating the maggots because they're scared to death. Remember that they're gonna after the spring thaw, they're gonna go back to their lake homes near the Canadian border in Minnesota, right there on Lake Loon, the loons, Henry the loons, and they're gonna find that they don't have a lake home anymore because it's full of MS-13 ISIS Scaravan members from Guatemala and Honduras and El Salvador. Marion Robertson, the former liquor supply officer who apparently dips into his stock from time to time, really doesn't want a search warrant like that. Because you're not going to, if you go digging around trying to find the origins of the Scaravan, you might find out there's some funny business going on Facebook. That there are posts saying, let's form a caravan in El Salvador and head for the border. And that this stuff is being organized on Facebook. Cambridge Analytica, anyone? I don't know that. Not saying, just saying. Steve in New York says, Pat's solution. Put them in camps, send them back, and kill the rest of them, and don't think that's not what Marion is saying. It's precisely what he's saying. They're out of the closet now. Okay? They're out. They're loud and they're proud. They're here and they're homicidal. Get over it. That's two clips in a row where you've got conversations, suggestions being placed about using extra legal force against a single individual. Ron and Raleigh said a minute ago, just because George Soros' name is bandied about by the right, does that make him a public figure? If I were him, I'd sue the pants off these sons of bitches. Most of them are judgment proof. One, two. And, two, do you really want the libel laws and the defamation laws of this country rewritten by a court that's run by John Roberts and includes Clarence Pubes on the Coke can Slappy Thomas and Ann's boy Neil and Sammy Bad Breath and Brat Kavanaugh? Do you really want that? No. I don't think. A little more of Marion, then we'll move along.
Of troops beating up on poor peasants from down in Central America. It's going to be awful. Mm. And
right. I mean, I can't imagine the PR nightmare.
It's going to be horrible.
No. I never know exactly what Cruella's saying. But notice the alternative he sets up, the false binary. We can either beat the shit out of little Honduran children, or we can use the legal process to torment an octogenarian in the form of George Soros. You know why Marion Robertson hates George Soros? Because George Soros is richer than Marion Robertson, and Marion Robertson knows he can't take it with him. And all Marion Robertson has been about his entire misbegotten, misanthropic, sickening life is the acquisition of wealth. That's it. That's why he was standing there gloating over the fact that people in North Carolina and South Carolina got their lives and their worlds turned upside down, ruined, and in some instances ended by Hurricane Florence, but his precious CB fucking N managed to dodge a bullet. You want to talk about evil? That man's evil. And I dare and defy anybody. Well, Bob, that's not civil. No, that's fucking factual. And then one more. And this one may be the most important of all. This is Frank Gaffney. First of all, let me remind us that Frank Gaffney is a former advisor to Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America, okay? He really is. So in the midst of all of Rafaelito's calls for civility, he has never, not once, told Frank Gaffney, who lives to slime people for being Muslim, to shut the fuck up. A couple of weeks ago, in a newsletter from the magazine Charisma, which is run by the some Pentecostal outfit, some outfit that, you know, swigs strychnine and rolls on the floor and speaks in tongues and juggles snakes and shit. Frank Gaffney wrote the following. Is George Soros the Antichrist? While former New York Mayor Rudy Giuliani has put the question in play, theologians may be better equipped to debate it than politicians. The decades-long record of this billionaire financier and philanthropist, however, is one of such malevolence and destruction that he must, at a minimum, be considered the Antichrist's right-hand man. Well, what do you do with the Antichrist, friends and neighbors? Well, or the Antichrist right-hand man? Well, you gotta kill him, don't you? Gaffney then went on to promote, well, this video, it's 15 minutes long. I'm not going to run a bunch of it. But the first thing you see on the screen is Soros's formula for killing America, a guide for Americans. Flag, soldiers saluting the flag, more flag, flag rotates, free press, family, the church, law, government, security.
Millions of concerned citizens are overwhelmed by the rapid demoralization of America. Are these changes natural grassroots movements, or the work of social engineers who profit from the decline of our nation? We believe the decline of America is not inevitable.
Social engineers who decline from the profit of our nation. You could go back to the anti-Semitic writings you might find in that newspaper that, Henry Ford funded, and find almost identical language.
And when citizens understand what is happening, we will rise for justice to the true America.
You know, the white America. P. a portrait of George Washington praying in the snow beside his horse. A picture of, I think that looks like Newton Leroy Gingrich, the paleontologist and husband of the adulteress ambassadrix to the Sea of St. Peter. Oh, and look, there's a picture of Franklin Graham.
We will overcome. Recent leaked documents of hedge fund globalist George Soros and his...
Globalist, that's another word for Jew!
Open Society Foundations reveal that the atheist billionaire behind Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton is funding a massive network of organizations and even curious ministers who attack not only political opposition, but who advance Soros's radical and comprehensive social agenda for America. These leaks are confirmed by IRS and web documents of Open Society and related foundations.
Of course, they're not. This is the weird fantasy that exists inside the thin gray settlings that pass for brains of the fascists who produced the video. And so then this from today. Remember. Frank Gaffney is a former advisor to Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz and a former member of the Reagan administration. Okay? That matters. I'll find it in a minute. There it is. He's also a pal. He's also a pal of John Bolton, the man who just engineered our exit from the INF treaty. Yeah. Frank Gaffney said today, none of the leftists ostensibly targeted for pipe bombs were actually at serious risk, since security details would be screening their mail. So let's determine not only who is responsible for these bombs, but whether they were trying to deflect attention from the left's mobs. Made his bones in the Reagan administration, and was a bosom chum of Rafaelito Cruz. Then, of course, there are the maggots who have declared over on Reddit, all bullshit. Soros, Hillary, and Obama mailed themselves packages to get in media. Now MSM can target Trump supporters, get sympathy, misdirect from caravan ties. They're doing it to themselves. If it turns out that they can't find the people who did it, it's because they did it. Same damn thing with Soros. Midterm victimhood. Next victim, Obama. Now Hillary and Obama have received packages that could be explosive, scare quotes. You guys, the deep state is going all out right now because they know the midterms are going to be devastating. Jesus. Jack in Shreveport says, subject line, Gaffney, Antichrist. So if Soros is the Antichrist, does this mean we can eliminate Obama as the Antichrist? Wasn't that their previous theory? Well, no, he's not the Antichrist. Jack, pay attention. He's the Antichrist's white right-hand man. That means Obama is still the Antichrist. Are we clear? Yeah, by the way, note coming from Jeff from Hill Hole, Indiana. Happy 13th birthday to the show, Bob. You have no idea how many times you've talked me in off the ledge and how much we appreciate your efforts. Voted early today, and judging from conversation I overheard in the line here in the Hill Hole, you may have to talk me in again. I don't know how many of these dumbasses were going on about how great Trump has been for Merca. Heather says, the right is so full of it. America's divided. Trump did it. Oh, and Alex Jones is running around yelling at poop on the sidewalk at the Ted Cruz rally the other night. Why do I think that that's not hyperbole? That probably happened. You know what's really sickening? This is really sickening. In 20 years, there will be a morning zoo crew political program where they'll talk about how great Donald Trump was for the economy. Because in the midst of all this, did you happen to notice that every last bit of the year's gains in the stock market were erased? The rest of them were erased today. And the Dow took like a 600-point shit. Notice that? Yeah. But no, there. 20 years from now, there will be some former Republican congressman, and he'll be on the air every morning, and he'll talk about how great it was and what a statesman Donald Trump was. And 20 years from now, if I make it that long, I'll be 75. I'll be screaming at the TV. And some 40-year-old will be sitting out there saying, I was just a kid, but yeah, Trump made us great again. Because that's the transformative power of media and amnesia. So 304-574-8178 and the Skype line are open. Let's run over to the stress line and check in with Scott. Hey, Scott.
Come here, Norman. Hurry up. Balloons, they're welcoming us back.
It's the loons, Henry.
Norman,
yeah, the loons.
Jesus. Well, you have stirred up my righteous indignation. Almost swallowed my knicker right there. I've got to be careful of that. You have stirred up my righteous indignation with these twerps. And I, you know, let me preface this. I'm not a Bible scholar. I'm certainly no theologian. I don't even know that I'm a good example to follow as you trudge and trundle down life's pathway. But this guy, Robertson and Gaffney and all the rest of them, brought to mind from the deep recesses of my cranium a verse in the Bible, 1 John 2:4. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. These bastards are try to be so heavenly minded that not only are they no earthly good, they're creating rack and ruin in the minds and hearts of humanity, not just here, but the fucking world over. I hesitated about calling today because I called the other day, and I know you say it's okay to call, but I'm telling you, I've got to pick up from something that I was talking about Monday. And for those who didn't hear the show Monday, listen to my call because I go into this. I was comparing and contrasting conservatives of days gone by versus so-called conservatives today. And more than ever, with today's sliming of reality in the wake of these bombings, and you were right, they weren't bomb threats, they were fucking bombings. The only thing that didn't happen was the devices did not explode, because they were discovered in time. But the sliming of people who are speaking out against this madness, if these people are not agents of Russia in our midst doing their work, then I don't know what would be. It's not about overthrowing the government in the sense that many of us think about it. First of all, their goal is to make a working United States government on all levels, federal, state, local, unappetizing to be involved in terms of process-wise, either as a candidate, a decent candidate, or even a voter, for Christ's sake. I give you voter apathy. But they don't want us involved in it because we're not serving their interests, okay? But they don't even want such government as there is to work in a positive and an appropriate way that we've seen it work before in my fucking lifetime, Bob, and yours too, I think. If these people are not what we used to call Soviet agents in our midst, doing their damnedest to fuck up the works, then I don't know what is. And they want you to be scared.
Well, see, Scott, the one place where I part company with you on this is, and you got a few years on me, okay? So it's entirely possible I could be wrong. I do not have a living memory, say, of 1964. But it's my understanding from reading history that the conservatives of 1964 were every bit as batshit crazy as the conservatives of 2018.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
It was so bad that Johnson felt compelled to come up with the Daisy Girl ad, or somebody in Johnson's campaign.
Yeah.
And Goldwater's running around with this, in your heart, you know he's right, and some wag on the Democrat side says, yeah, but in your guts, you know he's nuts.
Yeah, I remember those moments.
And Barry Goldwater was ready to roast the planet in the name of republicanism. So
He wanted to lob an atomic device into the men's room at the Kremlin. Now, he said he was joking, but where have we heard that before?
Yeah, well, that's one of those things you don't joke about. It's like Reagan sitting in front of a hot mic saying, well, I've just declared the Soviet Union to be illegal. The missiles begin flying in 5 minutes.
I mean,
fuck!
There you go. And not only that, with the Kremlin men's room nuclear device, Goldwater even said, with all seriousness, that he would not rule.
Where'd you go, Scott? Oh, wait, I know where you went. Time out. Won't take but a minute. Just hold on. I don't know why this happens. The damn thing drops the Bluetooth in the middle of, you know, mid-call. The technical joys of running a shoestring radio program. You should be there now, Scott.
Yeah. How far did I get in my rant?
We got, not only did he want to lob a nuclear grenade into the men's room at the Kremlin, but...
Okay, and I'll give him that. Let's say he was joking, a stupid joke, but a joke nonetheless, about the bomb in the Kremlin men's room. What he actually, in all seriousness, proposed is that he would not rule out using a small thermonuclear device in the jungles of Southeast Asia, which
right.
is to say Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
But it goes back further. It goes back to Joseph McCarthy, Republican of Wisconsin in the 50s. It goes back to the know-nothings and do-nothings in the Congress that Harry Truman had to wrestle with and dance with in the wake of Roosevelt's death. It goes back to Franklin Roosevelt's time when he was trying to do as good as could be done in the worst financial and social calamity that had ever struck this country and the rest of the world. There were Republicans in the Senate.
Right, and when Social Security came along, the Republicans, what of them there were still in the Congress, woo, this will destroy America. Oh, everybody's going to be a bunch of goddamn freeloaders. Ooh. Hey, when do I get my check?
And going back to 65, and you can find it on YouTube, when LBJ was proposing Medicare, Ronald Reagan did an LP, a record, suitable for playing on your hi-fi.
If we get Medicare, America will descend into communism. I've heard it.
There you go. There you go. But the through line that links all of these things together, in my mind, is these people do not have the best interest of this country at heart. Now, there are degrees of that in life, but I would think any mindset that consistently stands in the way of obstructionism and determinism to wreak havoc has got to be, to some degree, acting knowingly or unknowingly on the behalf of an enemy or an adversary of the foreign variety. And it sounds like I'm on my soapbox and off my twig or meds or something. But I'm telling you, Bob, if you pay attention and know a little bit of what has gone before, step back a little and see it and not get caught up in the current bullshit that they try to confuse and confound you with, or as Malcolm X said, bamboozle you with. If you look at it with clear eyes and some knowledge, you can't help but see it. And I'm sorry if I'm, overwrought today, but I'm telling you.
No, you're not, because, you have no idea how frustrated I get. I caught a segment on National Petroleum Radio, for instance, who seemed to be just about fit to pop their spleen to prove how right-wing they can be. Some yakety fest, asking, did Mitch McConnell really say he was going to cut Medicare and Medicaid? Did he really say that?
I got an answer. Did Howdy Doody have a wooden dick? I mean, come on. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, no. And so they sat there and they finessed it and they nuanced it. Well, he never actually said he wanted to eliminate Medicare and Medicaid and Social Security. He didn't say that. He just said that, the budget deficit's going to get out of hand and we've got to deal with these entitlements. That's all he said. Jesus Christ, those fuckers, I'd love to see some guy, some big, hairy, wide-ass motherfucker walk up to him and go, hey, nice broadcast studio you got here. Sure would be a pity if something was to happen to it. And then they could do 5 minutes on, well, did he really say he was going to destroy the studio? No, fuck no. Those NPR millionaires would be sitting there saying, God damn, they threatened to destroy the studio!
This is not the time for people in place who should know better, first of all, for people to sit in their wearing their white gloves and their brightest smile on their freshly washed face, sipping tea and munching crumpets, talking about the finer points of what these people are spreading on the Republican side. There are no finer points to it. It's insidious. It's madness. It's geared every bit of it, every jot and every tittle of it, to undermine the underpinnings of this country are at risk in terms of journalism, in terms of public free expression of opposing views. everywhere you turn.
But Scott, in Trump America, you're not supposed to have an opposing view. You're just supposed to say MAGA and keep your head down and wait for the greatness to wash over you.
Well,
Stephanie Clifford.
Let me give you a hint. They will take away my opposing views when they rip them from my cold, dead mouth and mind. Fuck them. But anyway, I'm.
Yeah, but that's sorry, that's like I, no, that's like that. That's like that, that moment in the first Men in Black when the Vincent D'Onofrio character says to the bug, "You can have my guns when you pry them from my cold, dead fingers." And the alien bug down in the hole says, "Offer accepted." Zed, we got a bug.
That's how I knew he was a great actor, by the way. Three roles proved it to me.
Private Pyle. The bug.
And also, if you ever get a chance to see it, and I ought to figure a way to just gift you the entire 7 seasons of Homicide: Life on the Street.
I've tried, and my life is too short. That's the problem. I mean, Agnes and I are taking in a couple of episodes of The Americans every evening, and it's quite compelling, and I enjoy it. But I know how good Homicide was, because too many people that I trust talk about how good Homicide was. But, you know, it's the beautiful thing.
The episode in mind, he is a commuter who's angry about his job and other things, not paying attention to what he's doing on the subway platform in Baltimore, and gets trapped between the platform and the side of one of the cars. And it was so good that PBS, on one of their shows, did a documentary about the making of that episode. And those three roles proved to me that Vincent was just a stellar actor.
Oh, no, he's fantastic. And, you know, one of the marks of a great actor is that he can just with little one word lines. I mean, because things stick, like the line out of Matewan, "All we got in common is our misery, so the least we can do is share it." That's been with me for 30 plus years now. Mm-hmm. And from the first, you know, "Zed, we got a bug," that's one of them. But the other one, and Agnes laughs every time I use it, because just about anything I want in this house, I can't find. And whether it's my shoes, my wallet, my keys, you know, whatever. And inevitably, if I get to a point of high frustration, Scott, I will, mm-hmm. I'll let go of a real good, "Where is it?" You know, Vincent D'Onofrio is the bug looking for the galaxy. And Agnes giggles every time.
Yeah.
And when she giggles, I'll look at her and say, "Did you ever pull the wings off a fly? Did you ever see the fly get even?" Well, hey, let me do something. It's Wednesday. There's no rules. It's our 13th anniversary. Let me bring Steve from Georgistan into the conversation. What do you think about that?
I would love to do that.
Are you there, Steve?
I'm here.
You hanging in, brother?
Yeah, man. Hey, Scott, what's going on, man?
I'm finer than a frog here, split four ways with a broad axe.
I'd love to hear your opinions on like what I presented the other night as far as why, you know, did they tinker him with the inputs of the polls that just come out of nowhere over the weekend. Now we got this blue wave. It's not going to happen. Blah, 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 blah. And you and Bob you nailed it. You guys nailed it. And I appreciate you guys. I really do. That's what makes this program just so unique and so special, you know?
I look at political polls the same way I look at radio and TV ratings. You can make them say whatever the fuck you want them to say.
Is that they're tweaking them. Accurate? They're tweaking them, aren't they, brother? That's what they're doing, man.
Yeah, and it all depends on who you ask, and it all depends on the truthfulness of the person that you ask.
But you and Bob had great answers all, and a few other people weighed in. And That's what makes this program so special, and that's why I just wanted to get my voice in on this 13th anniversary. You know, I appreciate you bringing me in, Bob. It means a lot to me.
What is it like, Steve? What is it like in Georgia in today's world? Hell, I'm out here in sunny, lovely, liberal, blue California, and it's all Skittles and beer out here, man. I mean, down there and where Bob is, oh, God, I feel for you.
It's crazy. It's
yeah,
crazy.
But one of the bombs got delivered to San Diego, Scott.
Oh, well, no, I don't know that was a – I haven't read the latest on that.
Oh, don't you play the apparently card with me.
No, I don't know other than the initial report what the latest is on that. I'll watch the news after the show tonight.
Yeah, supposedly to Kamala Harris's office in San Diego.
Oh, no, I didn't hear that. I heard the San Diego or the LA Times, and I think the San Diego Union Tribune got snail mail with a mysterious powder or something on it. That's what I was thinking about.
But Scott, to answer your question, the pragmatists.
Well, breaking news. Let me just interrupt for a minute.
All right, please.
Because David in South Carolina, Stan, just said, one, polls are part of the hack. All they need is plausibility. But two, they just found another bomb in L.A.
Jesus Christ. That was another topic on my notebook tonight, the reason why I called. But... All the dog whistling's finally paid off for these fuckers, hadn't it? It's finally paid off. How are they going to own this? Other than getting on the radio and trying to denounce it. Bullshit. They brought this on. They own it. We can't let them forget it.
Well, try this on, Steve. And again, going back to what I was saying the other night, some of this bravado on the part of Mitch McConnell talking about what we're going to do if we retain control, which we will, you know, all that happy horse shit. Some of it, I think, is whistling past the graveyard and is indicative of they are afraid on some level, and they're talking out of their ass. They're putting up a false bravado is what I'm saying.
These are bombs. This is a bombing that doesn't go. This is a bombing that isn't going off. This is a warning. If you try to unseat the Republican Congress, they'll start going boom.
Well, that's what I was getting at. Could this be a yet another signal of what somebody who supports them is up to, at the very least? And I forget who said it, sent the email today about, you know, it being a cold new civil war.
Well, that was hung like Jesus, picking up on what I've talked about for years, the cold civil war, and saying, I think we're graduating.
Well, he's right on, I think.
Damn right he's on. I mean, this is what they wanted. This is what they've been shooting for. This has been their subliminal message to the point where it's not subliminal anymore. They're screaming it in everybody's face, and the rubes out there that don't have two teeth between 10 of them, they're acting. I mean, the chickens have come home to roost.
And it's part of an old playbook.
Yes.
Define the problem and then show up on your white horse as the solution to the problem. If you look back at the political ads of Nixon in 68, if you remember the turmoil of the late 60s and how he tailored his campaign to being, you know, the only responsible voice in the room about law and order, which we found out pretty damn quick that they didn't give two half a fucks for law or for order. Okay?
Once all the smoke clears, I think you'll find a parallel here, too, Scott. Yeah. Go ahead, friend.
Well, okay, but what I'm saying is it's like, you know, they create the mindset that this is the problem. They define the problem. But it's like advertising. And I love advertising when it's done well and appropriately. But sometimes it's manipulative.
Gordo.
And in the case of political advertising and rhetoric, it's very manipulative because they create a false situation, and then they say things that strike a certain chord in a certain segment of a certain part of a certain society with whom it resonates. It's like, Jesus, it's a science. It's an art. It's a black art. And I'm sorry, I'm talking too much.
No, you're right. It's a dark.
I gotta share something with you. This is another one of every now and then Michael and Madison just gifts us with a moment of his brilliance. And I'm not being a smartass. Michael is brilliant. Dude should be writing on Saturday Night Live. He should be. You know, no matter how hard they tried, they didn't get in. They couldn't touch You Can't Handle the Boof. Ronald Reagan speaks out against socialized medicine LP. This is brilliant. Michael says, y'all struck a nerve. Some may call me a hipster. Some may call me a vinyl snob, but it is what it is. A lot of people, stupid people, claim that the stereo or even that god-awful quadraphonic remaster of Ronald Reagan speaks out against socialized medicine as the superior mix. That, of course, is unmitigated bullshit commercialism. Any audiophile will tell you the mono mix is where it's at. Any vinyl historian will tell you that the mono mix was what Reagan intended listeners to hear, the only mix he put any care into. It most closely captured the live experience, which was very important to Reagan. And don't even get me started on the backmasking hidden messages. Ronald Wilson Reagan, 6 and 6 and 6, as you know. Under no circumstances should you ever attempt to play that LP backwards unless you've got a lot of fucking sage burning. God almighty, I may be ringing the fucking cowbell for the rest of the night. I mean, that's the kind of thing you only get from Michael and Madison on your anniversary program.
God damn, he's underpaid, ain't he? Jesus, Bob. We need to give him a job somewhere. Jeez.
Oh, if I could pay a staff, I know. See, y'all were talking. I had the mic muted, sitting here just coming apart. A lot of people, stupid people.
I've gotten to the point, Bob, where niceties don't enter into the conversation. I mean, I'll be polite, I'll be civil, but I won't put up with blatant horseshit, okay? Like this thing with Trump saying that the caravan of people from Central America coming up through Mexico to come into this country, my comment on that was I sure hope they bring shovels and brooms to help this problem with Trump's relentless horseshit. Because it's getting deep. My shoes are ruined, but I think if they show up soon, we can save the pants. You know? You've got to use a little humor and wit to get a point across with people.
Oh, I know. That's why when I found out the Debbie Wasserman Schultz connection earlier today, all I could hear was fucking Debbie Wasserman Schultz, neoliberal shill, goddamn DNC.
God, it's not funny, but you got to laugh. I mean,
laugh. the condemned ate heartily. But something I was going to mention to you, you know, Scott asked you about what's it like in sunny Georgia. You did catch the story that Brian Kemp has been fucking sued again, right?
Again, yeah.
It's not going to matter
a whit to these rubes. The motherfucker is still going to win.
Yeah, but hold
Sorry
on. It's
Stan,
the, it's
I'm
the
here
subject.
In the middle of all this
Scott,
shit, you know?
Steve, it's the subject of this suit. This isn't, oh, he's disenfranchising voters. This is actual voters who have gone to vote early on Georgia's antiquated video game voting machines, and they sit there and they press Stacey Abrams, and it goes Brian Kemp. And they press Stacey Abrams again, and it goes Brian Kemp. Stacey Abrams, goddammit! Brian Kemp, Stacey Abrams! And there's at least 8 people who have verified that happened to them.
We're the only fucking state in the nation. We don't get a paper receipt. so they can sit there and grunt and groan and piss and moan all they want. Eventually, their time's going to run out. They're going to leave, and the vote's going to go the way the kid
wants it to
go.
Because
he's overseeing the whole goddamn thing.
Why not just go full on and have the fucking video game voting machine say, "I'm sorry, Dave, you can't vote for Stacey Abrams."
Or give it a 70s tilt.
Brian. Right.
All that's missing with the Georgia video game voting machines is that thing at the end of the Pac-Man game, the little song. Jesus. Oh, God.
I mean, sitting there in Georgia trying to vote. I am Groot. Brian Kemp. I am Groot.
As sure as I'm standing up here, and I hope I'm wrong, Kemp's got this thing. And not by legitimacy either. It's all by crook and hook.
Yeah, and of course, the best part of it all is you may wind up with a fucking runoff.
Oh, jeez.
There can be a runoff.
Don't want to torture. Yeah, because the libertarian's going to bring in 3% of the vote, which is, yeah.
Oh, God.
Jesus. It just keeps getting worse.
That would be interesting.
It's just, it's like salt in a wound is what it is. Yeah, we'll go. We'll go through the motions. But all of us good, free-thinking people, we all know in the back of our heads how it's going to wind up. And I hate to sound like the little ray of fucking sunshine. That's Bob's corner. But it is what it is.
Stay off my fucking corner, Steve.
Stop telling me to stay out of your corner, Bob.
Well, your neighbor David in South Carolina stands. Subject line vote says South Carolina voting machines are for entertainment purposes only. How did this get so goddamn funny?
By the way, they doubled
down on Maxine Waters. This ain't funny. They've got another one. They found another one addressed to her.
Jesus Christ.
The very least they could do with these video game voting machines in places like Georgia and, South Carolina, at least after you hit enter and you're ready to walk away from the voting station, you should at least get a candy necklace or a condom. I mean, come on.
Or a tomato splat on the screen or something. I mean, anything.
Well, there ought to be some payoff in the sense of, rather than it's like the walk, don't walk button at intersections in major cities around the world. All that's there for is to give you the sense that you're actually affecting something. When the light will cycle back to green when it's damn good and ready. I hate to be so cynical, but in some places, that's what voting has become, an exercise in gullibility or stupidity or futility, one of those. Maybe all three.
Well, Bob, Scott, Karen just walked through the door. I'm going to let you guys close this out because you both are awesome, and I know you can. So I'm going to check out.
Well,
I'm so glad you
jumped in. You brought some much needed levity to the 13th birthday program. I do appreciate it.
Well, Bob, I love you, man. I do, and I love all the Horn family. And good night, everybody.
Later, Steve. Bye now.
Take care, Steve. Bob, I think maybe you can squeeze another call in, but I want to close with this. On your 13th anniversary.
Yes.
Happy anniversary, happy anniversary, happy anniversary, happy anniversary.
Well, God damn it, now I won't be able to post it to fucking YouTube because I'll get that notice that we've infringed on copyright, Scott.
Oh, no. Well,
and it's not even the Hanna-Barbera version, damn it.
I'm sorry. I was singing it to the tune of my
No, that's a joke. That's a joke.
Okay.
By the way, Lee in New York says prizes on voting machines. Would that encourage people to vote multiple times? Well, I don't know. It depends on what kind of a hang up you've got on Cupid dolls.
Well, it takes all kinds to make a world, Bob. Where's my tank of helium so I can fill my inflatable woman for?
Oh, I thought you were just going to refill your inflatable, your helium-filled pants. Yeah, we're still waiting on those.
All right, man.
All right, take it easy, Scott.
You too, Bob, and you know, many happy returns of the day.
Thanks very kindly. Bye now.
Take care.
They're quite a little team, Scott and Steve. We've got a few minutes left in the program, about 15 minutes or so. If you'd like to get involved, you're more than welcome. 304-640-2829. That's the stress line. The toll-free number also rings into the stress line. 844-843-4676, from anywhere in Canada, Mexico, or the United States.
He said Canada and Mexico first. He don't love America.
And, of course, Skype to Skype, and 304-574-8178 gets you in as well. By the way, an update for those of you who were listening last night and heard Tracy stuck in traffic. Tracy finally got home around 11 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, around 8-ish Pacific Time. That was just, you know... Tracy should have known that the crash of a plane with Nazi markings on it would portend something. But the more I think about it, the more convinced I am that that really is the purpose of the bombings. It's like when there's a kidnapping and they mail you somebody's finger. They mail you the victim's finger, little finger. With the explanation that, you know, the next time you get the head. What was that, Crown Prince? Yeah. And yeah, for a couple of minutes earlier today, I was wondering if maybe the Saudis were behind the bombings. But then I was reminded that they tend to accomplish their goals. So the message has been sent. Don't try to unseat the Republicans in the House and Senate. And maybe they won't start murdering people. By the way, has Donald? I know. Julius Geezer had a rally this evening. He's pretty much giving up being president from now until the election. So that he can campaign. But has he gotten around to say that there are some very fine bombers out there? Because I would not be a nickel's worth of surprised if he did. Let's go over and check in with, I'll bet you this is Kevin. Hey,
yes,
Kevin.
It's Kevin.
How are you?
Yep. Good. Earlier tonight you talked about an email Scott had sent you about the bomber not being able to spell MSNBC.
Yeah.
And it reminded me of a quote years back when Pittsburgh was playing Dallas in the Super Bowl, and the one Dallas player said of Bradshaw he couldn't spell cat if you spotted him the C and the T.
I remember that.
So the bomber, the MAGA bomber, couldn't spell CNN if you spotted him the
C in the N. Yeah, wait a minute. How is it this has turned into a laugh riot? I really appreciate it. By the way, just helping keep us abreast of things, at his Clavering rally tonight, Julius Geezer blamed the media for the bombings.
Of course he did, because the media is the enemy of the people, and the media was the cause of all the bombings. You know, that's Trump's world. And while you've been doing the show on Twitter, this thing's been trending about when Trump phones friends, and apparently Trump has been using unsecured cell phones. His staff has warned him about it, but Russia and China have been hacking his calls. I mean...
Man.
Okay.
Wait. Okay. If this is the case, we've got to take a moment, Kevin. Take a moment for some sympathy for whoever the little Chinese spy, whoever the Chinese spy is, who has to listen to Donald Trump call 1-800 spank me. I've been naughty.
Yeah.
This is John Barron.
And I've been very bad.
Jesus. Yeah, but I mean, you call Bush, the younger Bush, dim leader, but not even Bush Jr. would have ignored the advice to get rid of the unsecured cell phones.
No, they just would have come and taken it from him.
Right, yeah. But not Trump. Nope, he's still calling people friends, supposedly. I probably agree with you. It's more like 1-800-SPANK-ME or something like that. 1-900-SPANK-ME, probably on the taxpayer's dime. Why should Trump pay for that, right? He's the president. So, but anyway, and, you know, I was thinking earlier in tonight's show, I truly wonder, when I heard about these bombings, I truly wondered how long will it be before we have our night of broken glass. I really believe that's coming.
Well, you know, with all this today, my mind went there too.
Yeah.
And you know, there was that conversation about, I was talking with a friend of mine earlier today, and he said, you know, he was talking about all the ignorant maggots, and I said, well, yeah, that's a part of it. But I said, Germany did not descend into fascism on the backs of the stupidest people in Germany.
Nope.
And that's why I think it's so important, Kevin, to constantly emphasize that so much of this agenda is just a Republican wet dream.
Yep.
And so, you know, people who voted for Donald Trump knew what they were voting for, and they wanted what they were voting for. They knew he was kind of nuts and violent and vicious and hateful. But as long as they could destroy Social Security, destroy Medicare, destroy Medicaid, and give all the tax revenues to the billionaires, they didn't care. And by the way, this is one of those evenings when, oh my God, wait a minute, I got to give out a cowbell. Hang on, Kevin. Steve in New York just emailed and said, don't you mean 1-800-MY-IVANKA? Whoa, that was pro. But law enforcement is out there fretting because they think another bomb was mailed to Joe Biden. The address was wrong, and now it's going back to Debbie Wasserman Schultz's office in Florida.
Yep.
So.
Well, you know. But it's all Democrats, not a single Republican among the group, and yet we can't draw any conclusions. We don't know what the motive was. You know. It blows my mind, the logic of Republicans. But then again, like you said, most of them aren't stupid. At least the ones that are in power, they know exactly what they're doing, exactly what they're spouting. They're just depending on the uneducated masses that support them to their own detriment to pick up the ball. Alex Jones knows exactly what he's spouting. He's done it for years as a long con. He knows it's bullshit. He's just making his money off the roots. And that's what all this is about. And, you know. So, but anyway, I wanted to share that. It'll be my meme for the night. He couldn't spell CNN. If you spotted him, the CNN.
It's the damn truth. It is.
We're lucky the guy was stupid, because if the guy was really weren't stupid, we would have had somebody die from these bombs.
I'm not convinced. I read something somewhere earlier today that they all had a common flaw that kept them from going off.
Well, yeah, I agree with you. It's kind of like finding the horse head in your bed.
Yeah, this is a warning to America not to take power away from the people who are busily trying to destroy the country.
Well, I can only hope at least the 50-plus percent that are going to vote Democratic, you know, just ignore that threat, because it's not going to change my vote one little bit. If you standing outside the ballot box threatening to kill me once I walk out, it's not going to change my vote. It's just not. Yeah, these people are bullies, but that's the only reason you stand up to the bully. You don't back down from them.
I know. All right, Kevin, you have yourself a good evening, my friend. Take care, and thanks for calling in this evening.
And I've been glad to be part of these 15 years for what part of them I have been.
And we're awful glad you have been. We'll get started on the next handful now.
Let's do.
All right, later. That's our buddy Kevin calling from Colorado Springs. And let's end the program just dealing with some other news that was out there today. Hey, the National Ruble Association Roulette Wheel O' Death landed on Louisville, Kentucky today. Two people are dead, an adult male and an adult female. The shooter was taken into custody, not killed. And interviewed by Wave 3 News, Steve Zininger said that his dad was waiting outside the Kroger's there when he heard shooting inside and people started running out of the store. Mr. Zininger said the murderer, not the shooter, the murderer. Wait, I'm sorry. Mr. Zininger said the lawful gun owner casually walked toward his dad in the parking lot and still had the gun in his hand. Well, that's when Mr. Zininger's dad took out his freedom protector, got behind his car, and drew down on the lawful gun owner who had just killed two people. That's when the guy who had just killed two people, the lawful gun owner, said, "Please don't shoot, and I won't shoot you. Whites don't kill whites." This all happened around 3 o'clock Eastern Daylight Time this afternoon. Don't shoot. Whites don't kill whites. Subject line, terrorizing, coming from Arthur. In Colombia, in the early 90s, drug cartels were putting up car bombs in Bogota because they wanted to avoid being extradited to the U.S. and because Pablo Escobar was killed. I remember that time. I wasn't there. Arthur was. I can't imagine. Lee in New York, last word this evening. Subject line, bombs in the mail. My father worked for the post office. Do not think of bombs injuring only the target. My father once heard a package ticking. He went to open it. He was lucky. It was a clock. Lee, I don't think we live in America now where it's the clocks that do the ticking. Okay, no, last word goes to Brother Deacon Asa. I'm telling you, Bob, this bombing business stinks to high heavens. They're going to keep placing these bombs until one goes off in a government office. Then gonorrhea Gaddafi's going to use that as an excuse to postpone the election. It'll be on like Donkey Kong then. Really. So I want to thank everybody for jumping in this evening and helping us finish off fundraising. Thank you so very much. We're done with October. And we begin a brand new year of liberal, progressive, independent broadcasting. How about that? Thank you to all of you who share your precious finite time engaging in this program. Thank you to all of you who keep the program on the air. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks this evening to Steve in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, whiterosesociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Cold River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. Be assured that I remember not just the friends that we have, but the friends that we've had and the friends that are no longer with us along the way. And always, always, always. Gina, it's all for you. Later, y'all.